Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091, or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava. You are now tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava. This is her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, as we are waiting on the arrival of Dr. Ava. Just know that you are now tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava. So we want to welcome everybody back once again this Thursday evening. We want to let everybody know that you can call in because the show is driven from the callers, and you can call in at 347-324-5091. You can call in at 347-324-5091. Once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava with Dr. Ava Muhammad. This is her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, as we're waiting on the arrival of our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad. But before I go any farther, I just want to welcome our contributor to this wonderful show, as Dr. Ava, our good brother, Dr. Ridgely Mukman Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Terrence.
How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm fine, waiting on Minister Ava and working hard here at the farm.
Praise be to Allah. Well, we're thankful that you're able to be on. And I know the callers will be calling in early, and we will be getting right to you. But like I said, I just wanted to announce once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava. And you can call in at 347-324-5091. And we have a lot to discuss tonight, and I know our sister is going to bring everything that she needs to bring to us tonight in the way of information and way of answers to all of the questions that you may have of her, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And you can also tweet her @DrAvaMuhammad, @DrAvaMuhammad. So, Dr. Ridge, before I go into my weekly update and report, what is going on the farm and how is everything going, since there's a lot going around the country? I think we need to be getting prepared for this economic blueprint and getting some food stored in our homes. So tell us about what's going on Muhammad's farm and the Ministry of Agriculture.
Well, we've just finished the stable goods project number 7, and we're going to start number 8 at the end of October, after the Day of Atonement. We'll announce it more. Sorry, October 26th, we'll start the pre-purchase for the staple goods number 8. Just today, I was replanting some cabbage and broccoli because I planted it earlier in September, and it got up to 100 degrees about 2 days in a row, which is very unusual for September. And it burnt the crop up, the broccoli and the cabbage, because, you know, they're not made like watermelons to take the heat. So you use the plant at that time of year because it's usually beginning to cool down. But it's just beginning to cool down like yesterday. And so we went out today and replanted the broccoli and the cabbage. So, but you, when you plant later, now you have a, you have to worry about an early frost and a hard freeze coming early. It's been, the things are different over the last couple of years, and it's hard to explain to people how dangerous this whole situation is about a possibility of a famine because the weather ain't acting right. Like I said, it destroyed our broccoli and cabbage. We had to replant. Now, if you get an early freeze, we've had early freezes, not earlier than usual, and that will kill it before it finishes it out. So, you know, when we say we at war, and there's God, and he's using the weather, we are in a very, very, very dangerous situation. So we advise people to store up on your food, on your water, because we don't know what's going to happen next. The weather is just not acting right, and it's going to cause major problems.
Well, that's an interesting discussion, and I'm going to get into a little bit of that in a second. But I wanted to add, when we're talking about the staple goods, is this open to the general public, or do the believers need to get in bulk? And how can people get involved in this? How can they learn more about what the staple goods has, what it has had in the past, and what may be coming up, and how can they get involved?
Well, they should go to NOIMOA.com. NOIMOA.com, and all the instructions will be up on the website. You know, we produce whole wheat flour here at the farm, and that goes in the package. We also have the Freedom paper, the tissue is in the package, in the boxes, and then we also have coffee from Manitaneta. That's a part of the package, and then we get the best other products like raw or turbinado sugar, honey, brown rice from out of Arkansas, navy beans from out of Michigan, red beans out of Michigan, lentils out of Idaho. So those are your major commodities, and we're looking to possibly add soap produced by a sister in the nation to this new staple goods project. We want to find more of our people, black people in the nation, who are producing products that can stand the shipping without refrigeration and going on docks and we had to sit up in different types of weather as stuff is being shipped. So you go to NOIMOA.com and contact us if you have a product that you want to put into the package in terms of we started this off just as to prepare for disasters, you know, having your rice, your beans, your flour, just for disaster, and it just turned out to be an ongoing thing. So anybody can get involved. If you go to NOIMOA.com, you can see the people in your area who are already representatives. If your area is not represented, then you can apply to represent your area, your town, your city, and you don't have to be in the nation to represent. We like people in the nation to represent your town or city. You know why? Not
why
because you're prejudiced, but because if you're in the nation, you're under our law. And we can force you to do the right thing. In other words, we know that we can't go all over the country with a police force tracking people down.
Right.
Okay, but if they're in the nation, you're under our nation, our rule, and we can track you down and, you know, make you do what you're supposed to do. But if you're not in the nation, then, you know, there's a problem of trust of will you comply with what you say you're going to do with people's money. So we have to check you out if you're not in the nation. Somebody in the nation got to know you because at the end, you know, we don't know who we're dealing with. This is why the nation, having a nation of people who you know is so important, and having rules and regulations and law among self is so important, so you can do business. You can't do business in a lawlessness. And the white man's world does not care about a black man getting his money. I've been in a number of businesses before I came to the farm, and I tell you, the white man does not care if you get robbed. He don't care if somebody got your money. He ain't going to get your money for you. All right? So it's kind of hard to do business in a lawless situation for black folks. Now, if you owe a white man some money, they're going to make you pay that money. But if a black person owes another black person, they become real soft. They're like, they don't understand. You get robbed, they're like, they don't understand what to do. Okay? So we have to have our own system by which we can do business. Sorry to talk so long on that, Brother Terrence.
No, sir. I mean, you did real well, and I just want to remind everybody that you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava. You are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava, and this is her host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. We'll be shortly expecting an arrival of Sister Ava. She is coming on. And before I wanted to touch on one thing that Dr. Ridgely said before I give some announcements, is that the statement that he just made about being in the nation and being under a law, one of the things that we want everyone to know is that as we're looking at leadership and as we're looking at organizations that have come before the people, that have robbed the people, that have lied to the people, the Staple Goods Project is something that's under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so it's not just food that we're giving to our people and offering them in bulk, but we also offering something that has been offered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the way of a program to help us sustain ourselves. And we want to make sure that any program that we give to the people is a trustworthy program, an honorable program, just as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who we represent, is that. So we want you to know that the business that you do with us is a righteous business, a correct business, and we want to make sure that you get what you're supposed to have. And that's why Dr. Ridgely said that there is a standard, there is a law, and there is morality in our business that we do in our interactions. That's why we want to make sure that all that do the things of the Staple Good and work with this process, that our people are getting the best and getting the best of service that's possible. I also wanted to go right into something. Don't forget to continue to watch The Time and What Must Be Done. That is The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, his 58-week series that he did on last year. And all of those series, every last one of them, is actually happening today. All of the knowledge and information that he has shared in that 58-week series, you can see it coming right off the pages right today. So if you want to see tomorrow's news headlines, going back and watch the series, The Time and What Must Be Done by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And for those not only in the nation but all across the world, you can come with us to Jamaica for the 19th anniversary of the Holy Day of Atonement. We will be in Jamaica October the 19th for a free event in Jamaica, hearing the words and guidance from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, October the 19th, the 19th anniversary of the Million Man March. Will be in Kingston, Jamaica. So you can go to NOI.org to learn more about that. You can also go to NOI.org and to go learn about the Economic Blueprint, but you can go straight to economicblueprint.org, economicblueprint.org, where you can give 5 cents a day, just 5 cents a day, to help in your own purchase of land so that we can build institutions, we can build factories, we can give jobs to our own people, knowing that America is not providing that for us. So we want to make sure that you know about the Holy Day of Atonement in Jamaica, also the time and what must be done. And also, our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, has a new book out, and she will be talking about that once she arrives. It's called Naturally Beautiful. It's based off a lecture she did. Say again.
I said, that's me. Naturally beautiful.
Oh, naturally. Yeah. I guess that's right. You're a naturally beautiful brother, Dr.
That's
Ridgely.
Right.
But Naturally Beautiful was based off of a lecture she did years ago, but it's a profound book. Yes, it has a nice, wonderful concentration on women, but it is, as all of her books are, for men as well. So Naturally Beautiful is out there. And as well, she will be in the city of Durham, North Carolina, tomorrow night, speaking at Muhammad's Mosque number 34. She will be there doing a Q&A, so you want to come to Durham's Mosque, number 34 in Durham, North Carolina, tomorrow night to hear Sister Ava at 7:30 p.m. She will be doing question and answer, just like tonight, as Dr. Ava. So we want to make sure that you are in attendance. So I'm going to just go through my report as we await the arrival, and from then we will go straight to the phone lines. And the number, again, is 347-324-5091. And you are tuned in right now to Ask Dr. Ava. So, Dr. Ridgely, last week you knew I was in the great capital of Washington, D.C., and
that's right.
So we was there continuing our events. I told everyone about the panel with Keith Ellison and talked about the panel with John Conyers and Jobs and the release of the Hip Hop Caucus album called Home, Healing Our Planet Earth. Well, that same next day on Friday, we had Congressman Carson out of Indianapolis did a panel on hip-hop and politics. And for those that are in the hip-hop community, he had MC Light. He had Rakim. He also had not Rick Ross, but the real Free Ray, Rick Ross, on the panel. And it was a powerful conversation. And the congressman even mentioned that he had studied the 1 to 20. And that's, you know, the 5%ers know about that, and those in the nation who have their supreme wisdoms know about that. And he has studied that, and he is a professed Muslim. And it was a very interesting panel of hip-hop and politics. And at one point, Reverend Yearwood, as there's always this conversation about gangsta music, our brother Jasir Yetz, a couple of years ago, put out a song called Real Gangsters, and he actually showed this at Savior's Day. Well, Reverend Yearwood of the Hip Hop Caucus made a mention about, he said, if you want to talk about real gangsters, he mentioned at this panel that you should look at the Koch brothers of real gangsters. Alec is real gangsters. And he went on, and he said, if you want to be real, we're at the Congressional Black Caucus, but if you turn to page 2 of the program, you'll see Exxon. You turn to page 4, you'll see Chevron. And at the point that he started to call out the names, the moderator actually started to cut him off and let everybody know that it was being live streamed. So Reverend Yearwood went over. He said, I feel like Nelly getting cut off at the mic. And he said that these are not my sponsors. And she said, they're not my sponsors either. And he said, if you want to see who controls your organization, then you need to see who funds your organization. And the crowd erupted. Right. And you can actually see this on YouTube. You can go to the Congressional Black Caucus YouTube channel. You can see the whole panel discussion. But it was very interesting that he brought this up, that those that are in leadership for us in Congress are getting money for those that are killing us. And Reverend Yearwood put before the panel that no Congressional Black Caucus should take any money from any corporation that is killing our communities. Whether it be in that ad, he had Walmart, it had tobacco company, and all those companies that are doing damage to our community. So he lifted it up in the hip-hop and politics panel. And then followed by that, on that Saturday, we heard from President Obama. He addressed at the gala. But as we know, there's controversy about his Secret Service. Well, our First Lady, Mother Khadija, had the best security, the FOI. And she was made sure that she was secure at the gala. We made sure that she got in and got out and got there safely. So while First Lady Michelle Obama was there, also First Lady Mother Khadija was in attendance, and it was a beautiful thing. And let me be clear, because we do represent the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we respect the president, our president, President Barack Obama, as well as those in Secret Service. But we do know that they have a job, but our job and our loyalty is to Allah. And so we have a higher standard of morality when it comes to protecting those that we know are God's servant versus a man who sits in a particular seat. But we do hold and give respect to them, because actually, personally, I would say that there's no other security that is comparable to the mighty FOI-MGT Vanguard. So it was a beautiful occasion. And I thank our brother Tom Joyner and J. Anthony Brown for suggesting that the President of the United States use the FOI for his security.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Yeah, and he actually mentioned it a couple of times on Tom Joyner, which was very, very, very interesting. But we're going to get ready to... Yes, sir.
You know, what branch is the Secret Service under that protects the president?
What branch
of government? The Treasury Department.
Interesting.
Are they there to protect the Constitution or to protect the Jews' money?
Mm.
It's the Treasury Department. And we know that the Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve are controlled by Israel and these bankers. So the people who tried to take the money back from the banks, Kennedy, Lincoln, were killed. So where was the Secret Service at to protect them? When you start going against that money, the Secret Service backs down because they're not there to protect the Constitution, the president over the Constitution of the United States. They're there to protect the money.
That's right. So I hope everybody heard that and understand exactly what Dr. Richard just said. So we know that our brother and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said and addressed it at Savior's Day about the protection of our brother, and we're seeing things getting set up and playing out. That's why I really advise you to watch the time and what must be done and hear all of the messages that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is delivering at this time and hour that we live in. Once again, you're listening to Ask Dr. Ava. As we are waiting the arrival of Dr. Ava for the show, you can call in at 347-324-5091. And we do, in a short minute, we'll be introducing our guest for tonight, who is right up the street from me in Raleigh, North Carolina, one of the baddest brothers in the field of education. And as Dr. Ridgely talked about making our own flour and Mother Tanetta with her coffee and our freedom tissue, I know a man that got a chip that knocks Dorito out the box, Lay's chips out the box. He got a chip called the bean chip in different flavors.
That's
We're going to introduce him in a few moments, but we want to go straight to the phones right quick and take our first caller. While we await the arrival of Dr. Ava, we do have our brother. Our brother Keith had a question in the comment. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely.
Walaikum assalam.
Hey, Brother Ridgely, I think the proper word would have been under the jurisdiction of the Nation of Islam. Or whatever.
Yes,
but
sir.
I would like the separation. It's the best and only solution. Brother Terrence, it's good to report from D.C. with some conscious comments coming out of that, which is a blessing because half of the time Negroes still asking the white man for money and a job. You know, at least the conversation is there. At least we're going to give Negroes that. But what I see, what's going on a global scale, you see Russia, and when Dr. Richards talk about the breach of Russia, making certain moves, breaking themselves away from Western Europe. You got a thing going on in the Middle East. So I said we come into a global war. It's constantly growing and developing. The minister talked about the Syria and the whole and how that was going to escalate. And that was a whole year ago. But look what's going on right now. They talking about striking bombs. They striking bombs as we speak in Syria. So the best and only solution for black people is to separate. You got Scotland. You got all of these European nations trying to separate and form their own nation, but the cracker, he won't even entertain the thought of giving black folks a reparations, a nation. He won't entertain the thought, but he'll entertain the thought from his brother. So, you know, we got to free the land, as our brothers in the Republic of New Africa would say. So, you know, that's my comment, and my question is, you know, what do you think will be the next 5 years as far as in the liberation struggle for our people? Do you think we'll still be in the same old asking, protesting type of mindset, or you think we would just go all out the war or some type of escalation in events? Because black folks, we can't take this no more. This white supremacy is absolutely stretching black folks out to a point of self-destruction. Either we're going to do self-destruct or we're going to have to destroy something else. That's all.
All right.
All right, Brother Keith.
Dr. Ridges, I'm going to let you jump on that one first.
Well, you know, the devil plans and Allah plans. You know, I can't tell you what's going to be happening in the next 5 years. I think Minister Farrakhan is our best judge on that. But let me talk about what they did plan and what Minister Farrakhan did that they got to change their plans. See, one of the problems that we have as a people is that we are under attack by an enemy, and we have a protector now, Minister Farrakhan. And Minister Farrakhan has a protector. It's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farah Muhammad on the wheel. So Minister Farrakhan does things and messes up the plans of the enemy that plans to attack us. But because the enemy does not do the attack, we don't realize what Minister Farrakhan has done for us. I give you a specific example right now. The situation in Ferguson came up on starting August 9th when they shot that brother. They had a lot of that. I remember the night before Minister Farrakhan spoke on the 17th, I was in the hotel, and I saw them talking, you know, these throwing these gas canisters of, what is it, tear gas, which is illegal. Okay, so they was attacking our people illegally. Mr. Farrakhan, the next day, he speaks. And he says something that was so profound, none of the media picked it up, but the government heard it. He said, if you all decide to roll out your tanks in Chicago, in black Chicago, the way you did in Ferguson, me and my brother, my white brother, Father Flager, are to go hand in hand in front of the tanks. Now, what would happen if Mr. Farrakhan goes in front of those tanks? Number one, they ain't going to shoot him. All hell would break loose, and then the plane would come in. But all hell would break loose because every FOI in the world would be there. Now, so they couldn't shoot it, so then they had to back off. So they can't afford to back off. So what now? Now you hear what Mr. Farrakhan has warned us about. You hear about it now, the militarization of the police forces. You hear about now that they've been giving surplus weapons from Iraq to police. The police have been going to Israel to train in guerrilla warfare, house-to-house type of guerrilla warfare. They've even been giving M-14s, grenade launchers, and armored vehicles to school systems. You can go on the internet and check this out. This is in the news now. Now they're talking about pulling back that program because they say that a lot of the weaponry is being missing. People, in other words, the municipalities are selling them because they need money. So they're selling these things to pay their bills and put in their pocket. So now they're talking about it. They're trying to pull back. Well, they got to pull back because they can't do what they plan to do. They've been shooting our black men down in the street on camera on purpose to get us to jump. They want us to jump so they can come at us. But now Mr. Farrakhan has put himself between us and the weapons of the enemy, and now the enemy has backed down, but because we don't see and understand, we don't know what he just did. So I don't know what's going to happen between now and 5 years. All I know is I'm with Mr. Farrakhan, and we need to go and do for ourselves, set up our own thing. We got protection. And believe me, white folks need our leadership. They need to see us not bowing down to them so they will stop bowing down to the people who run in them. See, they don't want you to know that their money is gone. The Jews got their money. They got the Federal Reserve. Ben had it. They know they punks. The white people know they punks to Israel, but they don't want you to know that they punks to Israel. We got to stop punking up to these white folks and turn them and say, look, why you let Israel punk you out? We're going to leave you because you a punk. You can't be over us and a punk. So we need to work hard and do for ourselves, because the people who we are afraid of is a punk to somebody else, and we're not a punk to either one of them, because Mr. Farrakhan is between all of them, and he has Allah and his Christ to back him up. Sorry that I preach so much on that one, but I had to get that out.
Praise you to Allah. Late Salam, praise you to Allah. Thank you, Dr. Bridget, for that. And thank you, Brother Keith, for that call. So I want to go ahead and get us all ready. Once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava. You can call in, get your calls ready now. I will tell you now, you better get them ready right now, because you're getting ready to hear from someone. And that number is 347-324-5091. 347-324-5091. You are listening to Ask Dr. Ava. And right before I bring her on, I just want to mention our brother Eton Thomas, former Wizard basketball player at the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus, did mention on his panel that he said one of the things we got to do about our young black children, he said we got to actually let them know that they are at war. And I was shocked that he said it, but it's actually on YouTube. He said, you got to let them know, our children, that they are at war. Just because you don't see the bullets flying doesn't mean that they're not at war, so they can be trained and taught of how to deal and how to maneuver in society. So, you know, it's a wonderful time today that we are getting ready to hear from the national spokesperson of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is a warrior, who is a fighter, who is teaching on the battlefield, getting us prepared and getting us in the right mindset to follow our champion, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So right now I want to turn it over to the host and person who is responsible for Ask Dr. Ava. I want to give you Dr. Ava Muhammad. Welcome, Dr. Ava.
Hey. Yay!
Oh, well, thank you.
Yay.
Thank you so much. And, well, let me say assalamu alaikum and thank you, Brother Terrence, and Dr. Ridgely, and all of the callers, because Elevated Places is a forum. It is not a one-person or single-person-driven gathering. It is a forum, and it is a forum to help inspire us, and we inspire each other with Elevated conversation, because words are preceded by thoughts, but actions are preceded by words. And I really enjoyed listening to what you just had to say. Very edifying, Brother Dr. Ridgely. I missed the call. It sounds like the call triggered the response, which I thank the caller for whatever they said to elicit that from me, because it's very much on time. And I am presently in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
Flew in early this morning. Got a flight out of Chicago to Atlanta, then Atlanta to Raleigh, and then straight from the airport to Torchlight Academy. Torchlight Academy is one of the preeminent educational institutions in America. Because it embodies all of those principles that both of you were just talking about in terms of the preparation of the next generation for survival and for life and for progress. And so Brother Donnie Muhammad and Sister Dr. Cynthia Muhammad, who are the administrators of that school, they are two phenomenal individuals. This is a black couple who they are married 40 years. They look like they're 40 years old. And they actually, I did not realize until this evening that we were talking about the minister being banned from the United Kingdom. Well, years ago, because you know Canada, there's British Canada and French Canada. And so Toronto, Canada, where they came to Raleigh from, did not allow Minister Farrakhan to come there either.
Wow.
And Brother Donnie fought and fought and fought and prevailed and got Minister Farrakhan into Canada, into Toronto. And it was when Minister Farrakhan spoke there that he made Brother Donnie a student minister in the Nation of Islam. So the work preceded the title.
Wow.
And of course, they are entrepreneurs. They are, you know, just like Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence and all of those who are engaged, who have really set aside what you could be enjoying, if we want to call it enjoying, life on the most superficial level by compliance and submission, you know, to the Caucasian. And they have chosen to sacrifice, and they're being blessed for it, though, as we all are. And so I was able, they invited me here today. I visited, spoke with the staff today at the school, and tomorrow I'll be at the school during the day while the students are there. So, of course, Allah willing, I'll be at the study group tomorrow evening here in the Raleigh-Durham area. So I'm just feeling good. I'm exhausted, but I'm so happy, especially after what I just heard. I'm just happy to be with Minister Farrakhan.
That's right.
Yes, and I was very pleased, Brother Chance, to hear about the brother that plays with the Wizards.
Yes,
make that statement. And it's exactly, amazingly enough, it's exactly what I said to the teachers. I said, we have to be honest with our children.
Right.
If we can't do anything else with them, for them, be honest with them. And let them know the dangers that they are facing. And stop telling them, you know, you're getting educated to get a job. No, you're getting an education to prepare to build a nation. But I'm hoping that I had invited student minister Donnie Muhammad, as well as the editor and publisher of Virtue Magazine, Sister Audrey Muhammad, who is here in the city and just published a new book. There's a lot of activity that the followers of Minister Farrakhan are engaging in. And so hopefully they will join us online. Try to get Sister Cynthia to come on. I don't think she's going to do it, but if she does, we would like to open the lines, have them on as well.
Well, Dr. Ava, we do have that brother lined up, and before he comes on, I just also wanted to add that, you know, Brother Eton Thomas said something very key at the CBC, that he said he's tired of the church not accepting these young people and turning away because of how they dress and how they look and bend. And he said the, you know, African proverb, he said it takes a village to raise the child, but now the village seems like they're afraid of the child. So it's interesting that we are bringing on a brother from Torchlight Academy, and it's no coincidence that it's called Torchlight because we remember a book published by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Torchlight for America. And our brother who is on the line right now, Brother Donnie, has a school that is a torchlight for young children and a torchlight in education, and one that helps them be prepared not only how to maneuver in this world, but how to set up their own world, since he's an entrepreneur himself, and also how to make young men in the school, and the discipline that he endows within the young men, and the virtue of the women, as you did mention, Sister Audrey of Virtue Magazine. So, Sister Avi, he is on the line. If you can go ahead and start start this conversation about education and our future. Brother Donnie, welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for this great privilege and honor to be on this line with such an august body of believers and followers of our great leader, teacher, and guide, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Well, Brother Donnie, we are equally honored, you know, that you could take the time to join us, and we know that you and Sister Dr. Cynthia are exceedingly busy. You're so joyfully engaged in the mission of the resurrection of the dead, and it's just a pleasure to be around you. And having gone to Torchlight Academy, I think I was last here 3 or 4 years ago, it's a beautiful facility physically, but bigger than that is the spirit. You can't even get out your car, Dr. Ridgely, you know, before the life hits you.
Go ahead.
you know, the people you're running into outside the building before you get in are just full of life. And it's not only a faculty that only consists of registered Muslims by any
right.
stretch. It is truly, you know, white people love to say diversity, but
please.
This truly is diversity, and yet it is our people united by our common ancestry, our common experience, our common history. But you've got Asian sisters in there. You got some of everything in there, but they're all there for one purpose. You have Christians, you have Muslims, you have everybody. But the purpose that they are united in, and the singular purpose of the founders, Brother Donnie and Sister Cynthia, is the mission of the resurrection of the dead, and producing a new generation of human beings with mm-hmm. the open spirit and mind that Allah God can use them as the vehicles to bring about the fulfillment of His will, His vision for His creation. And that's what you see happening there. So, Brother Donnie, if you could just tell the listeners a little, we are in Raleigh, North Carolina, but I don't want to assume that everybody listening, because we have a large volume of people listening to the show, everybody is necessarily knowledgeable about Torchlight. If you could talk a little bit about it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you. We are a charter school, which is a publicly funded school from state, federal, and dollars from the county here. And as such, there are a few restrictions with respect to religious teachings and that kind of thing. But quite surprisingly, there's a lot of latitude when you understand the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, how ecumenical that teaching is, because, of course, any time we follow his guidance, we find truth, and that truth is the teachings and can be found in all the great faiths. And
right.
so we certainly teach the children to love one another. We certainly teach them that they must respect their elders. We certainly teach them they must learn the practice of telling the truth, to dress in a certain way, to speak in a certain way. And then we find ourselves, as Minister Ava put it so beautifully, trying to fulfill the mission of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is the resurrection of our people. And that is by following the example that the minister gave us. He gave us a pledge that we're trying to fulfill, to build schools, hospitals, houses, businesses, and farms. And we find the school fits several of those, checks several of those boxes. Of course, it is a school, but it is also a business. We look at it as a hospital. We're there to cure our people of the disease of ignorance and self-hate and self-loathing. And it is a farm, because we believe that we're growing our young people in the knowledge and the way of self. And through that great example that they are coming to know in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because we tried to walk steadfastly in his shoes. And so that's about the school. We currently have about 400 and nearly 500 students at this time.
Wow.
We have about 75% of those are black students, about 25% Hispanic students, a little less, and a few Caucasian students that attend the school. The minister in 1996 instructed us to study languages. And so we do study Arabic at the school. We study Spanish at the school, and we study Mandarin Chinese. And the children receive those lessons on a daily basis and have learned. And some of the children and their parents have traveled to China with us and to learn of that great people and that great economy and that their great business sense. And then we received a great number of Chinese students and their parents and administrators that came to the school to continue to build that bond and share in that great relationship. But I can tell you that I could do none of this without my great partner, my friend for 40 years, and my beautiful wife, who adds another dimension, a necessary dimension, that nurturing dimension that I just don't have, think a lot, but I have one who does. And I would like for you to hear from her now, my beautiful wife, Dr. Cynthia Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wow, alaikum. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Ice and energy, as you're talking about.
Yeah. Y'all made me, I want to go back to school. I want to start over again.
I am so thrilled and humbled to just be here speaking with you. But what I wanted to share is that this school can be all over the United States in every city and every town, because what we do is nothing unique. It is something that is quite duplicatable, and with the talent that we all have throughout the United States and in London and Africa, we can have these type of institutions that are funded by the government. And that's the beauty of it, because it's quite different to have it funded privately where the parents have to pay. This is something that is funded through the government, and it's quite due, because we are due our our 40 acres and a mule.
That's right.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to inspire others, because I know that others are out there in different cities and in different states, and I wanted to inspire them to consider opening up a charter school, and it just does so much for the community.
I'd like to ask a question. I heard y'all say some of that, but what's the science of how to get the government money, but yet to be able to do what you all do? How do you set things up, the language that you use, and setting things up, and also in teaching the students?
Good question.
That's a very good question, Doctor. Of course, the scientist in you certainly gets right to the meat of the matter. And it is, every state has different laws about how to go about it. And what we need to do is to investigate in these states. Now, usually there is an application process that they make quite arduous. But once we have a formula and we have a application that is acceptable in one state, we can pretty much duplicate that in another state. There's an organization called Charter Schools USA. They have charter schools all across the country in the states where they operate. There's another group called the National Heritage Association. They operate 70 schools throughout the United States. Many of these schools are populated by 70% or more Black and Latino people, because our people leave the traditional public schools because they're dissatisfied with how their children are being treated and the lack of education that they're receiving. And so we want to walk you through it. I'm helping a group in Buffalo at this moment to try to put forth an application coming in early 2015. We got another group here in the state of North Carolina we're working with, down in the small rural town of East Spencer, where Brother Kenneth Muhammad was mayor there. And so we have a application package that we can put in the different states once we understand their laws. For instance, in Arizona, charter schools have been around a long time, and there are many there. In Louisiana, down in where Katrina flooded, New Orleans, that whole area, they're changing all the public schools over to charter schools. And it's an opportunity for us to get in place before those other big corporations get in. We can come
right.
in with our three or four schools in those areas.
Thank you,
brother. And Dr. Ava, I just want to jump in here, and there's a couple of things I just like to share that Brother Donnie lifted. Two things. One is that, you know, showing the universality of the school, meaning that there's a universal teaching within the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that is applicable to all, even though
right.
we make sure that we are trying to uplift our people who are in the worst condition, but our teachings are universal. And it shows the beauty of taking our children to a global level and not to a national, because we're not nationalistic. We are global. We learn the planet. So to see them going to China and exploring that, as we look at the curriculum at MUI and the languages that they learn, the multiple languages, because if we study other countries, you know, they have their natural, whatever, the national language there, English, plus ethnic language. They usually speak three languages, especially African culture. So to see them giving that to the children, it not only properly educates them in the math and science, but it also gives them a better opportunity to have a global impact where they're not confined to just, quote-unquote, finding a job here in the States, but the opportunity to be having a career around the world. So I thank them for offering that to the young people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I'm glad both of you are letting the listeners know that this is doable. You know, because oftentimes when we see something, especially something successful, and this did not happen overnight, and I hope we listened to what Brother Donnie said, that it's an arduous process. It's
right.
made to be that way. But we have a template with Torchlight Academy.
Yes.
So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And, you know, as I'm listening, I'm thinking about in Chicago, there's a charter school system that the Latinos have developed called UNO. And this UNO has charter schools all over Chicago. And so while Rahm Emanuel is closing down all of the black populated public schools, because a lot of people may not be aware that the overwhelming majority of Chicago public school system children are black. Caucasian people have their children in private schools, or they have them in religious-based schools, Catholic schools, Jewish schools. But the charter school system is phenomenal in that, and I think Sister Cynthia just mentioned, you know, we've been led into this idea of that we are welfare recipients, or anything that benefits us is given to us free, and that we're undeserving, when this country doesn't even have the capacity to pay us for what our ancestors built, developed, suffered, and it persists to this day. And so it is smart, it is intelligent to be able to have the government that our taxes fund provide for our children.
And
so we have to learn how to be sophisticated, how to do what our adversaries do, the children of our slave master. Because we were talking earlier today about the whole charter school concept really grew out of white folks trying to have private school with public money.
That's right.
You know, and pull their children out of schools where they felt there were too many black and Latino and ethnic children. And so this whole idea of a charter, but black people caught on to it and jumped on it. Because we're very sensitive educationally, so we're always tracking that. But I just hope the listeners are taking this to heart, because we've got a lot of brothers and sisters who have that kind of capability and skill set to make this happen. And see, for Dr. Ridgely, for example, our Minister of Agriculture, you're always trying to get across to us the importance of controlling our food through land ownership. The minister heavily went into this from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and with all sorts of supporting evidence in the time and what must be done, that soft genocide that occurs along with the outright genocide of just in Chicago, for example, all of a sudden this year, school year, all public school lunches are free in Chicago now.
Mm.
Why? Well, number one, the population is almost half the population is beneath the income level. But bigger than that, that's controlled. See, mm-hmm. you want to feed my children for free. Mm-hmm. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What are you giving them? And what they're feeding them is not real food.
That's right.
You know, and so we have to produce a generation that is brought up on these principles that we're sitting here talking about and don't have to be pulled away. And that's why I guess God said, I'm just going to let these old people die out and let Joshua go ahead and take these children.
That's right.
Minister, it reminds me of what Brother Ridgely said. I heard you speak, Doctor, about an enclave. And when you establish a school, and you establish that's really the start of an enclave, because then housing grows up around that, and then stores and services grows up around that, and then you can you start to develop your own infrastructure and your own network of economy, your own ecosystem, mm-hmm. your own economy. It's very important that school can be like an anchor for that.
That's right.
Yep. And
if you go to around white universities, and you will see how everything builds up around those. But you go around black universities, you see how there's a depth around that, because it does not stretch out into the community. So done properly, the school can be a center. I went to a white prep school, but that school was the center of that little town. But everything evolved from that. The people with the work there. So a school can be a center to develop a community. And you always got to have a school in a community so that the school itself can become the community. So, yes, sir.
And I do, I want to let Dr. Ava, do we have a caller that we're going to go to? One of the sure. things that we had Student Minister Robert speaking about there, very exact thing that Brother Donnie's talking about, you know, when you establish the masjid or the mosque, you know, once you have the spiritual house, the next thing you need to have is a school to educate our children.
Exactly.
And one of the key things that Dr. Ridger just pointed out, as I was just in Washington, D.C., and I can do it in Greensboro, North Carolina, I can really go anywhere, but when you go to the predominantly white institutions, you have a city within a city around the white institutions, but you have garbage around the black university. To give you an example, Howard University, after a certain
right.
time, all of the shops are closed. There was one little Chinese restaurant down the street that you may get something to eat. But when I went to where I was staying in College Park near the University of Maryland, the CVS was open 24/7. The Starbucks was mm-hmm. open until 11 o'clock at night. There was pizza restaurant. Subway was open. All the conveniences that you needed, the CVS, like I said, was open for the benefits of the students to make sure that their living and their studies were comfortable, unlike that at HBCU. So as Brother Donnie says, deans develop around there, and any city that's looking for corporations to come to that city, they always look at where their children where housing would be for them to for their employees and the educational universe or schools that their children can attend when they move to that school. So the educational system is very, very key to this process. Oh, but we do have Dr. Salam. Dr. Salam is on. Dr. Salam, welcome to Ask Dr. Ava.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Welcome.
Yes, and Brother Terrence, Dr. Ava, I'm glad you made it. I know you have been traveling too. Sometimes I wonder whether or not you're getting some assistance from the Brother Flight Lieutenant. And Dr. Risley, I'm really following you closely on this these staple goods and natural soaps survey that you're doing. And to your special guests, Dr. Brother Donnie and Sister Cynthia.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Yeah, welcome salam, family. I just wanted to say we have trained the whole world to do all the things we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we are not doing them ourselves. We have been nurturers on every planet, teaching the recessive society on this earth how to do the things that came out of us through mathematics, that we have to now go and learn a program subservient to what we taught the world. And that's taught us to work for somebody. And Dr. Ridgely, you said it so profoundly when you made the point. You said, this is the nation doing this. And he said, "You can. It's open to anybody to come in, but you will be under the nation's law to make sure things are done right, and that you know money is paid. And we have to have that, no matter who we are, whether we're in or outside of it. But it's just astounding to me that we've been here all of this time, and we don't have a natural law other than the NOI." We don't have a naturalization other than accept your own and be yourself. Everything has come from us, and all of the wisdom that we got came from Master Farid Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and what we're doing right now with Elevated Places and others. But one last thing. I wrote all of the ingredients. Dr. Risley, the milk and butter soaps, the coconut oil, the goat's milk, shea butter, mango, the mango butter, cocoa butter, the essential oil, all of that. I got it down, and I'm going to follow up with you on that. And maybe if we get to some point where we can have Brother Flight Lieutenant give us some hope that we might one day leave here on the mighty wheel, that would be our final blessing. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam, sir.
And Sister Ava, Mr. Ava, if I may take my leave, I'm going to prepare for tomorrow.
And oh, yes, sir. Understood.
Now,
and we have a long day tomorrow.
yes, ma'am, my sister.
But we thank you all so much for taking time to come on, but bigger than that, for what you are doing for our future, both of you.
Well, praises due to Allah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And look forward to seeing you early in the morning.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Assalamualaikum.
Wow. So, Dr. Ava, I think, go ahead.
Yes, I was just going to say, listening to really this entire evening, you know, I'm looking at what the Muslims want, and part of the lengthy paragraph, you know, the two lengthiest paragraphs on what the Muslims want are the one dealing with separation, the one dealing with education.
Right.
And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about education, among other things, he says, we want all black children educated, taught, and trained by their own teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the big flaws in our effort to make progress as a people And we've talked about this many times, but it just bears repeating until we come out of it, is we're just the only people that I know of on the earth that give our children to other people to educate.
Right. That's right.
And
that's real.
That was understandable during Jim Crow, because we didn't do it in slavery. Okay, not only because it wasn't allowed, it just wasn't heard of. As slaves, we knew who we were, but we were hostages. You know, and as a sister pointed out on my Sunday show this past week, she said, "I don't want us to use the term slaves." She said, "We were not slaves. We were enslaved.
Mm.
We were enslaved.
Right.
See, that was a condition that was forced upon us. We were held hostage here for half a millennium, and we still are, because
That's
right. we have never yet been asked or given the opportunity to state, what is it that you all want to do now?" There's an assumption that what we want to do is assimilate and integrate into white society. And that is not, first of all, Brother Ridgely said it earlier, white people need the guidance from Minister Farrakhan, because the majority
right.
of white people do not want to integrate with us. They don't want anything to do with us. And the majority of our people don't want anything to do with them.
That's right.
That's right.
It's this little deceptive group of parasites from both people.
Come on.
That
That's
are
right.
benefiting from this horrendous, manufactured, made-up, fake, anti-God situation called integration. It does not exist any more than sheep and goat can get married, live together, make a goat-sheep baby, and live happily ever after.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I just wanted to remind us of that, taught and trained by their own teachers. He doesn't deal with the subject matter. He deals with who's doing the teaching.
Right.
And just as he said, it is better for a baby to suck milk from the breast of its mother when she's ill than to drink cow's milk. The minister said it's better for your child to stay at home with you than to go into this lizard's lair, as it were. Because
right.
this educational system is so deteriorated, even academically, it does not justify any longer our children going into it. When back in the day when the minister was in school, and even through to me and Dr. Ridgely and beyond, even I would say as late as you, Brother Terrence, but not beyond that, this is nothing but games and violent music and cussing. There's nothing good going on in these schools, I'm telling you.
Well, you know, this is very, you know, we this is very scientific what they are doing to us, and we got to understand that. They're bringing down a civilization on top of us because they realize that we're going to outnumber them. Minister Farrakhan said in the time what must be done, if we just wait around for 100 years, there ain't going to be no white folks on the planet no way.
That's exactly. So, all we had to do is exist.
All we had to do
right.
is exist. So they're trying to set up an environment where we cannot exist, where we're able to self-destruct.
Well, we cannot exist. That's exactly right.
Because they're out of here.
Yeah.
They're out of here no matter what we do. They're out of here. The question is, what are we going to do to stay here on this planet? We got to come out of this game that they're setting us in up for destruction by completely teaching us and training us the wrong way. Right now, they completely took out home economics and shop out of the high schools. So that now a person comes out of high school, if you're not going to college, you have no skill to do nothing. This
mm-hmm.
is on purpose. It started in the 1960s
right.
when they started integration. they started in the 60s to remove all those programs from the school system.
That's right.
So we've been set up for failure. Now we got to turn around and start following correct leadership and let brothers and sisters like Brother Donnie and his wife, let him come and talk to y'all, or y'all go and talk to them because they're busy. So you can find out how you, how to get your head straight and then how you can get your children's head straight.
Well, yeah, and to your point, you know, back in the day, you, and we've been over this, you know, when I was in middle school, even though my mother was a master seamstress and cook and everything else, and it was just a given, you know, a woman knew how to run a house, and a man knew how to make a living. You made a way. That's what you did. You made a way. But in school, you learned sewing, cooking, home. In fact, the class was called home economics. All right.
Right.
And it had components to it. Home living, home. You know, a home is the minister taught at Savior's Day, I think 2012 or 2013. The home, the word economy in its origin meant management of a household.
That's right.
A family has an economy.
That's right.
See, this is where you learn how to be a human being. You learn in your family. And so the best way to deprive a human being of his or her potential is to deprive them of a family. Because you don't become a person at school. School is for academics. It's not to make you who you are. That happens in your family. And so it is in the family that you learn culture, identity, banking. But the economy, you learn that everybody has to contribute to the economy.
That's right.
According to what they're receiving, according to their needs, according to their capability. So young children are, hey, look, you may be 2 feet tall, but you can dry dishes.
Come on.
Right.
You see?
That's right.
You can help, you know, the young boy, you can help dad with the car. I just had a brother in the FOI look at my car. And I compensated him. And let me tell you what happened. I was told by AAA, because my battery, I needed a jump. See, look, we're just constantly being hustled by these multinational corporations. But I needed a jump. My battery, I had it on parked. I mean, I'm just going to confess that. So I'm drinking coffee and listening to satellite radio, and it wouldn't start up. So I didn't tell them that. I just said it won't start. So this guy, and they got a poor little Negro brother. He's their spokesperson. He comes in. He says, "You need a new battery." I said, "Brother, look at the battery. Look at it. It's got AAA on it. I bought it from you a year ago." Oh. He said, "Let me call my supervisor." He goes back to the truck. He comes back. He wants me to test it again. Yeah, I know he does. Because if I need a new battery, you're going to give it to me. They test it again. He says, "Oh, it's your alternator. It's your alternator." So I had an FOI come and look at it. Because now, you know, an alternator is $200. It's gonna be, and the brother said, "There is nothing wrong whatsoever with your alternator." See, there's no profit in to these people in telling the truth.
More. I got
and
stories.
This is why you live with your own kind.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me right here with my truck. They told me, at a Toyota truck, took it to the dealer. They said, "Well, you know, my light came on from my engine light." Well, they said, "Well, your computer is not working, so we can't tell you what's wrong with it." So I said, "Well, how much did that cost?" They said, "Well, it cost you $900 for the computer." I said, "So I'll give you $900 for the computer. Then you're going to tell me what's wrong with my truck?" I don't think so. So I found a brother who gave me to a brother who has his own shop. The brother said, What was wrong was my starter. There was nothing wrong with my computer.
Oh, my God.
He fixed the whole thing for about $300. They were going to charge me $900, and then was going to tell me what was wrong with it, and they could probably charge me another $1,000 to fix it. So what you're saying is true. I thank Allah that I had a brother who's a welder who does a lot of work at the farm. He knew a brother who fixed cars. So we saved a whole lot of money for the farm because they just ripping us off.
They are. And see, all of this, you got to have a license. You have to, I'm sorry, meet certain requirements that they impose.
Right.
So they run the black entrepreneur out of business.
Right.
You know, where are the black hair? When I was growing up, the hair salons were black people.
Right.
And people,
that's right,
people did hair in their kitchen.
Come on.
Or,
come,
you know, at their
now.
House on the porch. You know, the guy, Uncle Joe, comes and he looks under the hood, and they know everything. These brothers are scientists. They're self-taught.
Right,
they know
right.
everything. I was backing up one day on the south side of Chicago near WVON, and this brother was just an old brother just walking down the street. He yelled out at me, "You need some power steering fluid." So I went and got some and poured it in there, and you didn't hear any. My car was making noise, and you didn't hear any more noise. These are, see, that's how well that brother knows cars.
That's right.
So
that's
why
right.
are we giving our money to these chains and these outlets? See, we're falling for this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan said, you have to make an effort to support your own. See, to send
right.
your child to a Torchlight Academy and MUI, nobody's saying it's a cakewalk.
Right.
But where is it that you call yourself going?
Come on.
When
well,
you leave
you know
us because you want better service. Are you serious?
Well, you know what, Dr. Ava, that just, you know, leads me right into, as we're almost, you know, the time goes so fast. We're only like 9 minutes down. But that brings you right into our next caller, who is no stranger to this show, as Dr. Ava, who has now written another book about goal setting. You know, I think that's one of the things, what are our goals and how do we set them,
right.
and what are we looking for, what are we trying to reach for. And my father, you know, I ain't get all the toys I wanted, but he's pointed me in a direction of his woodshed because he was a general contractor, and I made my toys. We lived in a country, and I made tree houses on my own because out of the necessity and the need to do something for ourselves. And I know students at the college, they used to cut hair to make money. So we made a way, and that has been taken away from us because we have no worthy goal to reach for. So we have another caller coming on, our sister Audrey, author of a new book and a fitness instructor. She just got back from London. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava, Sister Audrey.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you,
Reverend Terrence.
Thank you, Dr.
Ava. Alaikum salam.
Oh, thank you, beloved, and for all you are doing as well. So tell us about your latest work.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, I want to thank you because for your inspiration over the years. And when I think about inspiration from the minister, from the teachings, and from you, it's divine motivation, you know. And you know when someone is inspiring, mm-hmm. when you desire. I grew up in the nation watching you write books and lecture, and it was something that I wanted to also be of service. So I just want to thank you. But the book is called How to Set Worthy Goals, an Inspirational Guide to Achieving Success. And what I did was, along with a London counselor, Brother Solomon, combined techniques over the years that I'm an academic advisor, I'm a college instructor, things I've utilized with students, things that are in some of the most popular books. How do people achieve goals? How do you set goals? Because at some point, we have to put our studies into practice.
That's
as
right.
we continue, studying. You know this as a lawyer. We know this as those who study medical, you know, school. At some point, you got to start saying, okay, what am I going to do with all this knowledge about the body? What am I going to do with the laws? So the book is a tool to help you set your goals. And whether it's for the economic sprint, whether it's for preparing for separation, what business are we going to have? What business are we going to build? Get some and share it with your children. Sit down with your children. Let's set goals. And I just want to be a witness there to even Torch Light Academy, because my daughter attended Torch Light from first grade. Actually, she was supposed to be in kindergarten, but thanks to a few months in MUI, she skipped up to first grade. But she learned Chinese at Torch Light. She walked in, and it was a nice transition for her, because they were drilling in the morning, just like they drilled at MUI, you know. And so Brother Donnie and his wife are an example of a couple setting goals and putting it into practice, and then setting more goals, taking the teachings and the knowledge that they have. And it's been a godsend for my daughter and what she's able to achieve even now. I hope they have a high school soon.
I know that's right.
Yes, but I just want to thank you. I want to thank Brother Donnie and Sister Cynthia for always supporting the children. You're talking about administrators that truly, truly care about children. And I just encourage everyone to set a worthy goal with your children, with yourselves, because at some point we have to put our study into practice.
Yes, ma'am. Well said. Well said. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And so you also publish Virtue Magazine. So how do we get the book? I was blessed to get my personal copy from you, but how do the listeners get the book?
Yes, you can get the book. It's also on the Virtue Mag website, www.virtuemag.com, www.virtuemag.com. You can get Virtue, the 10th anniversary issue of Virtue Magazine, or you can get the How to Set Worthy Goals. If you want to get a group of them, you can get a discount also. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful tool for us to have.
Yes, ma'am. And I also noticed in the book that it's a workbook format, too, where you can,
right,
you know, write out, because writing is so important, another lost art to us as a people. And the Quran says this, no matter how small a thing, write it down. Writing puts into play parts of the brain that no other activity does. And when you write something, the capacity to commit that to memory just increases immeasurably. And so when you, and also when you go back and read your own writing, that also activates a certain part of the mind, an elevated part of the mind, of the brain. And so, as you said, I love what you're saying. You know, we can theorize and talk, but at a certain point, we have to, on an individual, personal level, start to, like I was telling the staff today, self-care. You know, because Master Fadhil Muhammad said the scope of his teachings is in six words: accept your own and be yourself.
Right.
And how can you be yourself if you don't know yourself?
No.
And you don't know yourself if you don't study yourself, you know. And
right.
So I'm just loving that the believers and those who appreciate these teachings, whether they're registered or not, but are conscious, are beginning to produce things and even say things. I forgot, say that brother's name, Brother Terrence, one more time, the wizard player.
Ethan.
Oh my God, that made my day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how influential these brothers are?
Right.
right. along with the rapper. See, him saying that one thing is worth us having 8,000 programs.
Mm-hmm. Wow, on a panel with Al Sharpton.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome? Oh, my mm-hmm. God. But, yeah, that was awesome. But I love what you're saying, Sister Audrey. At some point, you know, faith, belief, all that, it has to translate into action. And if we want to defend our minister, one of the most effective ways to defend him is to be successful in your life.
And I like the process that you described, that you have to write these things down as you go with mm-hmm. it, because what you're doing is you're writing a contract between you and yourself.
Wow, that's right.
And you can go and check
that's
it
right.
and see how you are on your contract.
That's right. Well, you know, I want to let everyone know we thank everyone for coming, but I want to turn it right back over to Dr. Ava. So sadly to say, we just got literally 60 seconds left. Sadly, literally 60 seconds left. So thank you for your call, Sister Audrey, and being on Dr. Ridgely. But I'm going to turn it to Sister Ava to close it out in this last few seconds of Ask Dr. Ava.
All right, let's roll. Let's see. I'm in the hotel, but I'm going to say Brother Terrence, Dr. Ridgely, Sister LaDonna, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, the voice announcer, Brother Ashad and Sister Valerie and Brother Timothy on Sunday. The listeners, the callers, all of you, thank you for making this program valuable and successful. And we're looking at increasing it to 2 hours. So we'll talk to you about that next week.
Assalamu alaikum. Elevated places at
Holy
and remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.